Well, morning, folks, here in the auditorium, and if there are people up in the gallery and watching up there, and if you're online, we're glad that you've joined us, and we pray that God will bless you as you listen in today. Jan and I won't be here to share Christmas with you this year. We'll be in Canada with our son Matt and our grandson Charlie, so we won't be dreaming of a white Christmas. It will be a white Christmas, let me assure you, minus lots. So Brody and Bernie and Richard and Paul and others of our leadership team, they'll be here on Christmas Eve, which is a Sunday. They'll be here on Christmas Day and while I'm away, and you'll be in great hands. So please support them as they organise and lead our worship over those couple of weeks. Still, I have to say it feels strange not to be here at Christmas. So this week and next week, I want to explore some thoughts about Christmas with you. And one of the things I love about Christmas is all the lights. It's just so amazing. And because we're headed for the snow, here's a little video I couldn't resist. It's to the theme Frozen, which kind of goes with the snow. And it's one of those kind of lights that are all decorated up. So kill as many of our house lights as we can and just watch this little video clip. Pocket, Peter. So we've got a bit of a way to go with our stage lights yet, but you know, if he ever has a garage sale, I might go and get some spots on that top. Dear. But you know what it's like. Where we live in Lugano, there was an avenue that was renowned in Sydney for its lights for a couple of years, and it would take us an hour to get about a kilometre driving into it, because there's only one road in and one road out, and it would take forever, and people would be hanging around outside this house. It was quite a spectacular thing. So you know what it's like. The first lights come on usually in the Christmas stores, and then all the lights get up and put up in people's houses, and Christmas lights up the world. So the staff went a little crazy this year and put that Christmas tree in the foyer, and I've watched from upstairs over the rail as kids come in for playgroup and as kids come in for their dance classes, and they stand there and they look up at the strings and watch as the strings change colour with the lights. And did you know that light is a major theme of the Bible? The Bible says God is light and in him is no darkness at all. The Bible says that the first act of creation was, let there be light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. On Christmas, the very first Christmas, light plays a major role. So the angels put on this spectacular light show for the shepherds when they announce, behold, born this day in the city of David is a Saviour, Christ the Lord. And the wise men follow some kind of bright star that led them from the east to the west to find Jesus. And light played this major role because Christmas is a celebration of God's light entering the world. So what does it mean when we talk about God sending Jesus to be the light of the world? John 1 says, before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He has always been alive and is himself God. He created everything. Eternal life was in him, and this life gives light. This life, Jesus, gives light to all mankind. His light is the light that shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So what does that mean? That Jesus is the light to light up all mankind, and his light can't be hidden and it can't be extinguished. It means not talking about physical darkness, because we don't always live in physical darkness. He's clearly talking about spiritual darkness. When we're separated from God and we're trying to do our own thing, we're in spiritual darkness. For some of us, 2017 was a dark year. Let's be honest, we're glad it's over. We're looking forward in hope that 2018 will be a better year. Some of us had a relational crisis. Some of us know someone who went through a divorce. Some of us had a death of a loved one. Some of us went through cancer treatment or had a disease. Maybe we went through a conflict. And it's been a tough year. And the good news is God has saved the very best for last. At the end of the year, he wants to light up our lives. So let's begin with a very simple prayer. God, I ask you to shed your light on me so I can see you better, so I can see myself better, and so I can see your future purpose for me better. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, many Aussies still say, I believe that Jesus was God come to earth in human form. Many Aussies still know why we celebrate Christmas, or they know what happened at Christmas. But do we know the reasons Jesus came? Do we know what he came to do? And that's what we're going to talk about for a few minutes, because once we understand what Jesus came to do, I think we're going to be more excited about Christmas. And we're going to want to love God, and we're going to want to know him, and we're going to want to trust him, because Christmas is all for our benefit. So we're going to use the word light, L-I-G-H-T. We'll light them up one at a time. Technology, when you've got to have battery candles, in case you're bringing the fireys. Never mind. L, Jesus came to light up our minds and let us know what God is all about, or who God is all about. Have you ever had a light bulb moment? You know, all of a sudden something you couldn't figure out before, and all of a sudden it made sense. Somehow the light went on. And the first benefit of knowing Jesus is things get a whole lot clearer. We see ourselves clearer, we see God, we see life, we see problems, we see other people more clearly. Because all of a sudden, the light has been turned on. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Let me ask you, is there anything that you're confused about? Are you confused about your future? I don't know what I'm supposed to do next year. Are you confused about a relationship? I don't know how to get on with it, or I don't know how to get out of it, or I don't know what to do about it. Are you confused about finances or health or something else? Notice what Jesus said in John 12. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. Jesus said, I don't want you to be in the dark. I don't want you to be in the dark about life, about yourself, about your problems. Most of all, I don't want you to be in the dark about what God is really like. Jesus came to show us what God is like. And we can't relate to some impersonal force in the sky. When God comes in human form, so God comes in human form so that we can understand. Because God wanted to relate to us, he became a human being so we could understand what he's like. And why is it important that we understand what he's like? Well, because of our fears and a lot of our worries and our problems are caused because we don't know what God is like. If we knew what God is really like, we would worry a whole lot less. If we knew what God is really like, we would be afraid a whole lot less. We'd be a lot less stressed. But when we don't know what God's like, we tend to avoid God. When we don't know what God's really like, we tend to run from God. When we don't know what God's like, we tend to be afraid of God. When we don't know what God's like, we don't bring our problems to God. We try to solve them ourselves. So God says, first of all, we've got to know what I'm really like. So I'm going to come to earth in human form. See, we can't love somebody that we don't know. And we can't trust somebody we don't know. And if we don't know God and what God's like, how in the world are we going to trust him? We can't. So God says, I want to be clear about what I'm really like. Friends, there's an awful lot of distorted images about God in the world around us. We get distorted images from magazines. We get them from our friends. We get distorted ideas about God from our parents. We get distorted ideas about God from our churches, for heaven's sake. There are a lot of images of God out there in the world that aren't reality. And we say, why would I trust my life to that person or that kind of God? Sometimes we hear people say, my idea of God. Whenever I hear that, I know they're just guessing. When it comes to knowing what God's like, we don't need to guess. We need the truth. Jesus says in John 14, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus stands up and says, look, take a look at me. If you've seen me, you've seen God. Nobody has ever backed up a claim like that except Jesus. So when God comes into the world 2,000 and however many years ago, of all the ways he could have chosen, he comes as a baby. He came into the world the same way every one of us came into the world, by being born into it. Why did he do that? Because he wants to save us, not scare us. And nobody's afraid of a baby. If I were God, I could think of far more spectacular ways to enter the world. There are a lot of ways God could have come to earth that would have wowed everybody and scared everybody to death. But he came into the world just like you and I did, by being born as a baby. First, because he wanted to identify with us, and second, because he came to save us, not to scare us. You see, we can learn a whole lot about God without reading the Bible. We can learn a lot about God just out of nature. For instance, we know just by looking at nature that God likes variety. If you don't believe that, just take a look down your row, or just turn around and have a look at everybody else here in the church. God likes variety. Did you know that when God started making insects, he created over 60,000 different kinds of beetles? Now, you know, I would have been satisfied with 400 or 500 species, wouldn't you? That'd be fine. But no, 60,000 different kinds of beetles in the world. John, Paul, George, Ringo, and a whole bunch more that I couldn't name. God loves variety. Another thing we know about God just by looking at nature is he's organized and he's powerful. But there are some things about God we would never know except he came to earth 2,000 and however many years ago to tell us through Jesus. For instance, how do we know that God is loving? There's only one way we know it, because Jesus told us that God is loving. How do we know that God is forgiving? We don't, except Jesus told us that God is forgiving. How do we know that there's an afterlife? We wouldn't know it in nature. It's because of Jesus. That's why God says in Colossians 1, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He says, I want you to know what I'm really like. That's the first reason he came. Here's the second reason. I'm just worried about batteries. You know, is it actually going to light up? Here's the second reason. He said, He came to tell us the truth. He does that by informing us that he has a purpose for our lives. Jesus said, I came into the world to tell people the truth. Ever get tired of people lying to you? There's only one person who will always tell us the truth. It's God. He'll tell us the truth no matter what. When God talks to us about our lives, he doesn't always say things that we want to hear, but he always tells us the truth, and it's always for our good. When he says, I don't want you going that direction, or don't get involved in that kind of stuff, he's not being judgmental or limiting. It's because he's loving, and he knows what will make us happy more than we do. So what is God's purpose? The Bible says, God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago, and this is his plan. At the right time, God will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us from the beginning, and all things happen just as he decided long ago. What's God's purpose for the universe? What's God's purpose for you? Here it is in a nutshell. It's summarized in the Bible. The reason we're alive, the reason our heart is beating, is God wants a family. That's it. The Bible says God wanted a family. He didn't need a family. He wasn't lonely. But he's a loving God, and he wanted to create you in order to love you and for you to love him. The whole reason our heart is beating right now is we were made to be loved by God. We were created as an object of God's love. In fact, the Bible tells us that God formed the entire universe just so human life could exist. It tells us that God created the universe, and then he created the world with just the right rotation of the axis and just the right combination of water and air that would sustain life. And then he created us for a reason. We're not an accident. He knows you, and he loves you, and he wants you to know him and love him back. And one day he wants to take you home to live with him in eternity. If we really emotionally grasp that, if we ever emotionally get it, we'll never have a problem with inferiority. We'll never again have a problem with insecurity or low self-esteem when we realize that the entire universe was created to sustain us. And so God could create us, and he could love us, and he wants us to be with him forever. That's amazing. Why did God do it? Because of his love. He loves us. God showed his great love for us, Romans says, by sending Christ to die for us. You know, we summarize that some ways. Heaven is perfect and we're not. I can't get to heaven by my own good works, all that sort of stuff. So Jesus says, I not only created you, I not only formed you, I not only created you for a purpose, I died for you and I save you when you put your trust in me. That's how much we matter to God. So what should my response to that be when I understand how God created the whole universe and human life to create me so I could be loved by him and saved by him and taken home with him into eternity? What should my response to that be? Paul says deep, deep gratitude. Paul says this, when I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. I fall to my knees. He says, I'm overwhelmed by how cool, how great, how good, how wonderful, how gracious God is. He says, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. Three down, two to go. G. I came to guard and guide your steps. In John 8, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness, for living light will flood your path. Jesus says, I want to light your path. I want to direct you through life. I want to be your guiding light. You know why? Because God can see further than we can. You know why we get frightened about next year? Because we don't know what's around the corner. We're only one phone call away from a total life change. I'm sorry, we've got some bad news on the lab report. I'm sorry, a loved one has just died. Our life can be changed just like that. That's why it's scary, because we can't see down the path. And a lot of our fears happen because we can't see clearly. Of course we all experience dark days. You know what dark days are. You've had a bunch of them. You're going to have more of them. Life has its ups and its downs. There are dark days of disappointment when our dreams crumble and when our plans fall apart, when things don't turn out the way we intended for them to turn out. There are dark days of doubt when we wonder if I'm up to the task. Can I make it in life? There are days of distress when we're stressed by our finances or our relationships or a physical illness. There are days of defeat and depression when we feel like I've totally failed and I've blown it and I don't know what to do. And when we're in those dark days, we need a guiding light. We need God's guidance. What do we normally do when we come up to a problem that we can't control on our own? Well, what we typically do is we go back in the recesses of our mind to that emotional chest of drawers and we open it up, and inside that chest of drawers are all kinds of little different flashlights. We can't see our way through a problem, so we decide we'll figure out on our own instead of going to God, and we pull out the first flashlight and it says relationships, and we start shining it. If I could just get married, life will be great. If I can just get unmarried, life will be great. If I can just have kids and my kids would grow up and off they'd go to uni and my life would be great. We think relationships are going to make us great and our life great. Or we reach into the drawer and we pull out another flashlight and it says job or career. If only I could change jobs, then everything would be wonderful and I could see clearly. I'm just in the wrong job. That's going to make it clear, the right job, but it doesn't work. Or we pull out another flashlight that says location. If I just moved to Melbourne or the country, everything would be great. So we look at all these other things. You go to a seminar, read a book, listen to a tape, it'll change my life. Or we pull out the one that says sex or drugs or make more money. That'd be it. If only I could make more money, I could see everything more clearly and things would be smooth sailing. Folks, we don't need a flashlight. We need the light. The light of the world, it says. We need God in our lives. God isn't some puny little flashlight. God is like a searchlight. So let me ask you a question. What are you having a hard time figuring out in your life? you say, I just can't see it. I'm in the dark. I need a guiding light. What do you do when you can't see how it'll work out? You flip the switch. You turn on the light, God's light. We call it faith. When we say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do next semester. I can't figure it out, but I'm going to trust you. You just flipped the switch and you turned on the light. Well, God, I'm having a problem with these kids, or I'm having a problem at work, or I'm having a problem with my health, or my finances are falling apart, but I'm going to trust you in this, Lord. You just flipped the switch and you turned on the light. We ask Jesus to help us to trust him, and he will. And what happens when I do that? Ephesians says the light makes all things easy to see. There's a fourth reason we celebrate Christmas. Jesus said, I came to heal your hurts. Jesus came at Christmas to heal our hurts. Everybody has hidden wounds. Everybody. Now, you may be hiding it very well. You may appear sophisticated. You may appear cool and hip, and you've got it all together, supposedly. Of course, we all know you don't have it together, because nobody does. Inside, in some way, we're all hurting. It may be something that happened a long time ago, something that was said to you and it hurt, something that was done to you and it hurt, something that wasn't done to you and it should have been done and it hurts. Or maybe it's a hurt about some things that you've done and you regret it and you feel ashamed about it and guilty and you've hidden it in the closet and you don't want anybody to know about it because it's painful and it's embarrassing and it still hurts. And then at Christmas we come and it's supposed to be a happy time and we say this is a season to celebrate and it's the season of good cheer or something. But in reality, a lot of people at Christmas are lonely. A lot of people at Christmas are hurting. A lot of people at Christmas are going to hang out with family members and there are unresolved issues there. They don't really want to see them. There are all kinds of undercurrents and unresolved conflicts. They're stressed out and depressed. Not everyone has a Hallmark card family. But here's the good news. No matter where you're hurting, Jesus can heal it. Resentment, worry, guilt, fear, bitterness, boredom, whatever. Jesus can heal our hurt. He's the light of the world. Doctors have discovered there's healing power in light. You know, today we use light in all kinds of different ways. Lasers are used in all kinds of surgeries. Some of you have had surgery on your eyes. They use light to give us sight. There's the principle. We need the light to get the sight to see what life really is. We need God's light in our lives. It's pretty amazing what doctors can do today in healing people, but only God can heal a broken heart. Only God can heal a broken spirit. Only God can heal a broken relationship. Only God can heal a broken dream. He says, come to me because I came to heal your hurt. The Bible says in John 12, I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save it. Jesus said, I didn't come to tell you you're a bad person. I didn't come to put you down. I came to save you. Salvation means freedom. We're set free, free to be ourselves, free to become who God meant for us to be, free to be all that God has for us. What does Jesus save us from? A lot of things. He saves us from hopelessness. He saves us to a meaningful, purposeful life. He saves us from fear because we can trust him. He saves us from worry and from doubt and from bitterness because he forgives us and teaches us to forgive others. He saves us from guilt. He saves us from the expectations of other people because we're living for an audience of one. He saves us from the habits and the hurts and the hang-ups that mess up our lives. He wants to be our Savior. The Bible says in Psalm 103, he forgives all my sins and he heals me. Somebody once asked, can you find truth in every religion? And the answer is yes, of course you can. You can find truth in every religion. But here's the problem. I need more than truth. I need more than principles to live by. I need a Savior. And there's only one person who ever promised to be my Savior.
Jesus. So we can read a lot of books and they'll tell us what to do to get our life in shape. The problem is they don't give us any power. We need a Saviour. For unto you is born a Saviour. We need Jesus to give us the energy and the power. The fastest thing in the universe is the speed of light. 186,000 miles, is it, per second? If you don't believe that, go home and try to open your refrigerator door before the light comes on. You can't beat it, the speed of light. It's the fastest thing in the universe. But there's one thing faster. It's God's answer to you when you ask Him to save you. It's instant. There's no delay. There's no waiting period. There's no cooling off time. It's immediate. The moment we say, God help, I need you, Jesus Christ, save me. When we say that, it's instant. There's one last reason. He came to transform our lives. John 10 says, I came to give life, life in all its fullness. Most people never learn how to really live. They're just existing. So Jesus came to say, I want to talk to you about three kinds of life. New life, abundant life, eternal life. In other words, He takes care of our past, our present, and our future. New life, He says, I want to give you a new life. That means everything you've ever done wrong is completely forgiven and forgotten. He wipes the slate clean. You get a fresh start. What a deal. You don't need to feel guilty. Let's just start over. That's new life. Second, He says, I want to give you abundant life. What's that? That's a life of meaning and purpose and significance. We were made for more than survival. We were made for more than success. We were made for significance. Jesus calls it abundant life. Living a life so that our values and our meaning and our significance all come together. And then He says, and by the way, I'm going to give you eternal life. It's kind of like God's retirement plan. He says, we're going to take care of your past and your present and your future. That's my Christmas gift to you. In Jesus. Who in the world would turn down something like that? And as we begin a new year, 2018, I'm sure there are some things you want to change in your life. Let me give you a little secret. You don't need a self-improvement program. You need a Savior. We need God. It's amazing to me, at that first Christmas, the wise men, they saw this star, bright shining light, and they follow it from east to west to find Jesus. I got to suppose that the wise men weren't the only people who saw it. It was in the sky. There's nothing in the Bible to say the wise men were the only people that saw the star. Everybody saw it. But not everybody did something about it. They saw the light, but they didn't do anything about it. The wise men saw the light, and they followed it to Jesus. That's why they call them wise men, I guess. So how wise are we? It's one thing to know Jesus is the light of the world. It's another thing to let Him light up our lives. We've got to choose to live in the light and start living that way. So what will happen if we open up our life to Jesus? The Bible says the darkness in our lives disappears and the new light of life in Christ shines in. And the Bible says when anyone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Let's pray. Our Lord God, I've known about You, but maybe I haven't got to know You as personally as I could. Maybe for some people, they've never accepted Jesus as Savior. Wherever you are, I invite you to bring your life to Jesus now so He can light up your life. As best I understand it, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and my Lord, and I want you to be the light of my life. I want to accept your gift of new life and abundant life and eternal life. I want to learn to know you better and to love you and to trust you and to follow you. As I celebrate Christmas, help me to grow closer to you. In your name I pray. Amen.